This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. And coming up at 5:30, we're picking every single NFL game of the weekend. Of course, the marquee game of the weekend, Commanders and Ravens, is our top story. And, well, our next guest needs no further introduction.
Today's top story, from the perspective of someone who's there.
You are looking live.
This just in.
Not my beat.
It's been his beat for a long time. John Keim. Really, this is, you know, not my beat, it's your beat, John. That's the name of the segment. You're the king of the beat, and it's always a pleasure to have you, my friend. Thanks for joining me on this Football Friday.
Well, always fun to talk football with you, Craig. You know that.
I appreciate that. And we will get to the ball in a moment. But you and your colleague at ESPN, Jameson Hensley, talked on your podcast, The John Keim Report, available wherever you get your podcast, about kind of the importance of this game in the actually an area where we have a lot of listeners on the Team 980 in Maryland, that space between D.C. and Baltimore, along the BW Parkway, along 95, all the towns that dot it, that over the years were longtime strongholds of Washington football fandom. And as the Ravens were good and the Commanders in previous iterations of the organization went south, the color of the jerseys seemed to change in the classrooms and in the grocery stores and everywhere. What was that conversation like with Jameson as you've seen that evolution from your side of it? And he's obviously watched it covering the Ravens for a long time.
Sure. And a lot of it, when they came here and they started to have success, it kind of matched up with when Dan Snyder took over. The organization was going down, wasn't doing enough. And then, you know, they win Super Bowls and this team can't even get to the playoffs, or there's false hope after false hope after false hope. And then they get Lamar Jackson. So one thing Jameson had talked about too is they started to bleed in the fan base anyways. But when you have an electric player like Jackson, it expands your fan base, not just in the area, but nationally, because they never had that. That's where it was different. Like, as he said, before it was built on defense. Well, it's kind of hard to sell nationally about, like, hey, come watch another 16-10 game, right? Whereas now you have one of the most exciting players in the league playing for you, and it's been that way for however many years. So it's solidified to me, you know, without doing a lot of research into it, but it has to solidify a hold and bleed even deeper into what had been territory for Washington, whatever you want to call them, right? Commanders, you know, football team, Redskins, whatever it is, they bled into their territory. And so when you're looking at this, not just this game, because the game isn't going to decide who's a fan and who isn't. It's going to be the rise of Jaden Daniels. And so the more he solidifies himself as a player, and there's no reason to think he's going to go anywhere but up, the more you're going to see, like, maybe more fighting for some of those, the fan attention in those areas, the fan tickets, suites, ad rev, whatever it is, jerseys, you know. So I think there's more of a chance for this team to compete because if they're better, but also now you have a highly marketable player as well.
Right. Finally, you got the kids where they look at their friends in their Lamar Jackson jerseys and they're in their sad burgundy and gold. It's like, no, mine's not sad anymore. Mine's a 5 jersey with Daniels on the back and my guy's awesome too. And like for the lost generation or almost at this point, two generations of Commanders fans, like that is from the business side is a huge deal. And I think is so many people want to downplay the rivalry because it's like, oh, there's not a lot of history but like that is very much a real element of the game this week and kind of the parallel storylines that we hope continue to be upwards for both franchises.
Well, I think it's probably as much a marketing rivalry as it is anything because or just the competition for business dollars, right? And the stadiums aren't that far apart where you get that middle ground area where you're fighting, you know, not literally, but you're fighting for those fans. And this, somebody like Daniels helps you get them. And it's a lot easier, you know, God bless Taylor Heinicke and all that. Heinicke wasn't going to believe in that unless you won, right?
Right.
But even then, you knew that with Taylor, it was always There's a ceiling. There's an absolute ceiling, and he's probably was about at it. Whereas for Daniels, I mean, he's played five games and he's already doing this well. Where can he get to? And he's the kind of guy that you need to take to re-energize a fan base. And so I think like that's where for the season, for selling tickets and all that, that's the key. Is it if they were 3-2, but they're winning, you know, a little bit differently and they didn't have Jaden Daniels, let's say they have a JJ McCarthy, but they're not quite as fun to watch offensively, whatever it is, like you're not going to see the excitement the same to the same level. I just think it's the winning plus then you have this unbelievable dual threat rookie that can take you even further.
It's a great point. John Keim with us, of course, ESPN.com, the John Keim Report podcast as well, if you want to check that out. So let's talk, let's go from like highfalutin narrative talk to very nitty gritty football talk. Your colleague at ESPN, Mina Kimes, was one of the people that I know highlighted this on her show in her preview, like the 12 personnel, Baltimore Ravens get up there. They got two tight ends on the field. They run the mess out of the football. Washington likes to match 12 personnel with their nickel, so a lighter personnel grouping, and they've gotten away with it to an extent so far this year. What options exist for Joe Witt Jr. to ultimately defend what is the key matchup, how Washington defends the run, but specifically knowing how Baltimore wants to run the football?
Well, I think you also have to look at, you know, you have some bigger safeties and you have to, that's, you know, the Jeremy Chins of the world, right? And so that's a factor. When I was watching them last week against Cincinnati, for example, there are times where they did a good job creating a very light box for Derrick Henry. And then, so what's the key there? It's the D linemen have to get off their blocks. Linebackers, you have to play your box. As Daryl Tapp said, we asked him that today, and he's like, play your technique, trust the technique, get off the block, right? So you have to do those kind of things. Like, just because it's a light box doesn't mean you have to give up yards. And so I think that's part of it as well, because like, yeah, they'll use the fullback a ton. But you have to, like when I'm watching, when you see some guys getting stopped, it's because guys are filling aggressively and getting to the right hole. Like I saw a play where, to be honest, Craig, I saw one play where Derrick Henry ran it. And I'm like, did the safety really want to get over there? Because it didn't look like it. And you can't have those play. Like one thing I trust.
In fairness to that guy, I wouldn't want to tackle Derrick Henry either. Although that's not my job. I get to talk to you. I don't have to talk. I don't have to go tackle Derrick Henry.
I don't either. And you know, but if it's your job, you got to get over there, right? And you got
probably want to do it.
And it's really hard. So I do think some of it. You know, I think you also have to be cognizant. The thing with Henry too, the Bengals did a pretty good job against him. But then he snaps off a 51 yarder, you know, and that's the play I'm talking about too. But he snaps off a 51 yarder and like that, but all this good play before that went not for naught, but like that's what he just ruined it in one play. And so they did a good job to that point. And I think it's the same thing. Like, what do you want to take away? You still don't want explosive down the field. So you don't want, I don't know that you're going to really want, I don't know how much are you going to change your personnel because you have Zay Flowers who can hurt you down the field, right? And you want to make sure you have speed on the field to also combat Lamar when he runs. I mean, yeah, you go back to that. Remember the Chargers years ago where they used, I think it was a dime personnel all game. But you can't do that now because of Derrick Henry. But the point of it was to get a lot of speed on the field to contend when Lamar gets outside the pocket. I think in that area too, that's where Frankie Louvu, guys like that can help. Like he has such great closing speed that what does that look like also on the blitzes too? So I think that's where, you know, personally, I'm going to try and pressure him up the middle because I think that's where you can get him into some trouble. And, you know, so I think, but I think with the Henry stuff, it's, you've got to be able to get off your, if you've got a one-on-one, you've got to get off your blocks.
Yeah, and finishing is just so important.
I know that's basic.
But no, I mean, it does answer the question, right? Is like, we're going to rely on our defensive linemen to do what we ask them to do. We're not going to put nine in the box and be like, hey, if Lamar beats us as a thrower, like there are different ways you can go about that. And this team, the way, if we go all the way back to the beginning, if you will, the way this team is built from a roster construction standpoint, they are putting a lot on their defensive linemen. Those are their highest paid guys. And ultimately, like, there's some things you can do. I was talking with Logan on the phone about this earlier, like jam fronts, and you get like super technical real quick, which probably don't need to do here on the radio, but there's some ways in which you can jam it up for, no pun intended, jam it up for Baltimore, and then rely on the fact that you do have a guy in Jeremy Chinn who's kind of that hybrid type of player.
And I also wonder, Craig, too, like, we've seen the three defensive tackle alignment with the Johnny Newton, Payne, and Allen. Do you do a little bit more of that? And are there times where maybe you can go to more of a base look because you have Michael Walker as play? He'll play in the red zone area. Do you do that at other parts of the field too? Just, you cannot do that consistently, because the minute they see that, the thing that they do too is, there's watching that offense, like, they will do some of what Washington does as far as like how they try to fool you in the run game with the jet action, with, you know, you'll see some of this, okay, you got a split backfield, you got two backs in the backfield, and you're going to fake to Derrick Henry going one way, you got a jet going another, and you got the quarterback going to the right. You know what I mean? Like, so they try to do some of that as well. So that's why you can't just go with a bigger lineup all the time. But I do wonder, would they go to some more of the Newton, Payne, Allen? But that's also probably a little bit more of a pass thing too with Newton, right? And so, you know, is that something you would, because here's the other thing, like, you do that, like, I'll take Farrell in there trying to set an edge. And you know, I think Armstrong's done a nice job. So I don't want to take those guys out very often. But I think where Newton helps you too, though, is if you can push the pocket a little bit, he can create some havoc, I believe, because, you know, he's just, I like what he offers. It's just that he's got to get more experience.
Right. And you do wonder about rush lane discipline for a rookie when Lamar Jackson. So there are no perfect plans. That's why Lamar Jackson. He just, it's hard enough Derrick Henry when you had Ryan Tannehill, all due respect, playing quarterback in Tennessee. But now with Lamar, it does seem like a cheat code. A couple other guys, and you just mentioned one that we need to understand where they're at this week, I think, in order to have this discussion too. Injury wise, what do we know about Cleveland Furl? And then what do we know about Jordan McGee? Because he's a guy that looked really good in the preseason. He would be a rookie, be one heck of a welcome to the NFL if they decided to activate him and use him this week. But he's pretty fast, you know, known for being able to be instinctual and make tackles. So if they go base, like, they could, if they go him over Walker. But just from an availability standpoint, where are we on Furl and where are we on McGee coming off
Cleveland? I think it's, he did go, he was limited. You know, I was watching him the other day. He looked pretty good doing the individual drills, but that's just individuals, right? It's just warm-up stuff. But I think they felt pretty good about him. Nothing official, but I, as Dan Quinn told us today, both he and Noah Brown, for example, both had good weeks. That's a good sign, because he's missed three games and with that knee injury. And so he's a big plus to get back. And he's not, obviously, I know he's got a couple of sacks, but that's not his thing. But playing the run is really where you need him. And with McGee, I don't know who they'd bring up, because they have the spot. They also have F.A. Obada. And so I don't know which one they would bring up. But I think with McGee, I would still look at him more as a – I would want to have him work more in practice before I'm putting him in there in a from scrimmage, but not on special teams. I put him on special teams in a heartbeat. I just think that's a lot of time to miss and then put him in there in a game right now when you're a rookie. But yes, they do like him. He does have the speed. I think Walker is, when he's been in there in the red zone stuff, he's done a nice job. So I don't know that they'd have a problem putting him in there, but you're right. Like, the speed is a intriguing aspect of it, but I would still look at Walker maybe as the guy that would be ahead in that area if they went to that sort of look. And you're only going to go to that look if you get the right look on offense, as you know.
Right. Yeah, the personnel matching is an enormous part of this game. And it's also a huge part when we flip the field. John Kimes with us, of course, ESPN and ESPN.com. You can read his work there. When Commanders have been at their best this year, they're able to do a whole bunch of stuff offensively, very seamlessly, getting in and out of different formations with the same personnel grouping, getting defenses caught on the field. And you see how, I mean, like, at the beginning of the game last week, JOK, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, like, he is flying all over the field. By not even halftime, that dude was gassed trying to chase Jaden Daniels around. How do you think that they attack this Baltimore defense that has been incredibly stout against the run, but has struggled tremendously giving up big plays in the passing game?
They have. Now, the funny thing is, like, watching even the Bengals game last week, there were a handful of throws. I'm like, that's actually not bad coverage. It's just a really good throw by Joe Burrow. And like, you're looking at like, is he really through? Because like, you know, you go through the all 22 and you're looking at the details of the play. I'm like, and you're wondering, okay, he's short, you know, 15 yard out to the left to this guy. And I'm watching like, he's really not that open, but it's NFL open and he's getting rid of the ball at a time. So if you're getting it out on time, you can complete those. He also had some deep ones that I felt were the result of some good concepts, right? So you can, but you can hurt them there for of the two ways. That's where you can hurt them, right? So I also think in the run game, I think what looks to be really hard is just you're just not going to line up and just try and slam it on them. So you're going to have to be a little bit creative, which I think they've been. And the wrinkle here is defending Jaden Daniels as well. And I also like, if you don't, depends on, do you have Brian Robinson? We don't know yet. If not, you know, you like those two running back looks. You got Eckler. Can you spread and try and run that way? You know, can you get the ball? Like, they've been good in other games. Okay, it was hard to run against the Giants or whatever. So you're gonna throw a lot of the smoke routes, the screens, the receivers, which, as you know, serve as extended handoffs, right? So right. Do you try and get it? Do you try and do things that way as well? It is a very good front. And Roquan Smith is really good. Kyle Hamilton plays a lot in the box. They're hard. Even in the pass, you know, pass blocking, Craig, that's going to be a hard thing. Like, they do a lot of different stuff. Like, I don't know why they're struggling as much as they are against the pass. You know, I've watched some of it, but not enough to, you know, just – so I think you still have to be sound in the pass game. Like, it's not like it's just like it was last year here where guys are just running open all over the place because guys are colliding or not talking or whatever. Right.
There is some of that. I think that's the thing that's interesting. Like, the numbers, the down-to-down performance is better than the overall numbers because they have had a couple of coverage busts. They've busted at least two for touchdowns this year. Mm-hmm. Worthy had one in the opener, and I'm forgetting the other one. But then, like, Jamar Chase slips a tackle last week and runs away from everybody, and all of a sudden you're the third worst team in the league in yards after catch because you miss a tackle and the tackle was on Jamar Chase, and 70 yards a yak later, that really hurts your stats. And so I think that's been the interesting thing is, like, put them in conflict and make them unsure, and they will miss a tackle. Right. They will have a bust. Sure. And so the question is for Cliff this week and his staff is, like, how do you do that? I'm sure that's what they've spent their entire week on.
Great. Right. And there was the Bengals had a touchdown last week where they put the safety in stress and he ended up getting a deep post off of that. I think it was T. Higgins, I believe, if I remember right. But they did that because, you know, just the coverage look, you put the safety in stress, you have this look, and he's coming, you know, the tight end coming down another area. I don't remember the play exactly. I just remember the safety being in stress because you got two guys you have to worry about, and the tight end takes the focus, and he's got the post. I don't know if you remember that play or not. But the point is, they put him in stress. And so you can do that. And then also his ability to extend plays, like, it's hard to prepare for that. And I know they face Lamar Jackson. Well, these guys face Jaden. So I get that, but it's still hard to defend them because it's just different. And I think that's where you have to be very good. And for Daniels is to continue to look upfield because every week there's been a chance to make a big play with his arm. He got it to McLaurin last week, and he had a couple last week, but there are a couple that you still could have gotten that he knows, they know, and it's part of the growth process. But it's where, like, if those are available, you can't miss those in this game. And that's what you know, so you're going to have to be good in that way. But I think with the run, I think it's going to be sometimes a lot of, you know, I guess, fooling the eyes, a lot of eye candy, right? And, you know, you're going to get, like, I liked last week on the fourth down play, the jet action to Austin Eckler. Like, not many teams use a running back on a jet action and to hand it off to them. And so,
and if they hadn't, and he didn't, that guy didn't have Austin Eckler's instincts, that is not a first down.
No, for sure. That cut your base is crazy. For sure. And, you know, you have, like, Zacchaeus, you can use, there are creative ways to use him as we've seen in the past. And so I think there's just different ways you're going to have to try and get to it. And then obviously incorporate Jaden, but it's not like he's, and the thing, like, he doesn't even have to get 10 yards when he runs it. If you get 4 or 5, just let him know that he's keeping it, which they already know. So, you know, I think, but yes, the pass game, there will be opportunities. Marlon Humphrey is very good. They will play zone. So you can just be patient And, you know, if they're playing too high, you know, you're going to try to run the ball a little bit more. And so they will, you know, they seem to play more, a lot of zone, right? And so I think that will open up some things, but it's about patience. And I think they've been able to be very patient. They've shown that. Last week was an anomaly with as many big plays as they had. They've been more patient than that, you know, than allowing them to go on those long drives.
Yeah, for sure. They just have been able to find ways to win, which feels odd because, you know, I've been covering this team for almost 10 years now. You've been covering it for 30 now. And teams finding ways to win in Washington has not been a specialty on the gridiron or frankly in any other arena for most of that time. But this team has certainly figured that out. And it is a heck of a lot of fun to watch. John will have his five things that he thinks podcast out this weekend, which is always a great listen. It's always my go-to listen on the way to the game. Probably listen to it on my my Sunday morning run this week because I'm not actually going to Baltimore.
See, I listen to you and Logan on the way to the game. So
there you go. It's just, you know, we're just return and serve. I was talking to my wife earlier, joking with her. I was like, John and I don't get to talk as much as we used to when I was on the beat every day, but I feel like we talk to each other through our podcast. We're still in communication.
For sure.
So check out that this weekend. And of course, John's work at ESPN.com. John, always great to have you on the radio, sir. Much appreciated. And I'll see you in a couple weeks back at Northwest Stadium. And I'll talk to you through my podcast until then.
There you go. Thanks, Craig. Always enjoy it.
All right, man. That's John Keim with us here on the Hoffman Show. When we get back, every other game, Anthony and I give you our picks and analysis for them all next on the Team 980. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Coming up at 6 o'clock, we pick 6 players, not named Jaden Daniels and Lamar Jackson, that we think are going to be critically important to the Commanders-Ravens game on Sunday. Right now, though, Anthony, we pick everything else. We pick every single game that is not the Commanders-Ravens game. We'll get our picks in at the end of the show. Let's see. It always helps when I remember to make the graphic in the commercial break as opposed to during the show. I also should probably stop saying that out loud on the show and just let it happen. But I can't multitask, Anthony. My brain's broken, and it's Friday, and we're already halfway through the show.
I wish I could help.
Actually, you can help.
Okay.
What you can do is you can tell the people, because this is what we would be doing anyway, tell the people what our records are going into the week, and then we can add one to the win column for each of us because we both picked the Niners last night.
Yes, sir. So, Craig, you are 43 and 34, and okay. I am 42 and, hold on, that math ain't math.
Uh-oh.
Oh, actually, it did. 35.
So, you're one game behind me.
Yeah, we had the same record last week. We both went 8-6, and the week before that.
Hold on. Was it we both went 8-6, or was there like a Monday night something? Did that change?
Yeah, we were 7-6, and then the Monday night game,
we both went the Chiefs.
Both
the same? Okay.
Yeah, we both had the Chiefs.
Oh, it was 2 weeks ago that I think I got back to 500 and avoided like a truly embarrassing week on Monday night 2 weeks
ago.
That's what it was.
Yep.
Okay. Fair enough.
I appreciate you keeping me on my toes.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm here for. That and to, you know, host the entire radio show.
Yes, sir.
All right, so I've got a 1-point lead on Anthony. We're both doing okay. We'll see how we do on the competition Wednesday picks. We obviously picked those on Wednesday. That was at 5:30. This is 5:30, but this is Friday. It's time to go around the NFL. Oh, you had the music up high. You wanted that to hit for effect.
Yes, sir.
I see what you did there. Last night, we were both on the 49ers. They absolutely dump-trucked the Seattle Seahawks. Put up a fight, but like they threw the ball 52 times. Geno, 30 of 52, 312, and a touchdown. Deebo Samuel really set the tone early with the long touchdown catch. Three catches, 3 for 102, Anthony. How about that for a day for Deebo? That is one in the win column for us both. Okay, Jags and Bears, Anthony, in London. Hello, London. Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. However, unlike most times that the Jacksonville Jaguars are at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, They are the road team here, which I think is kind of a wacky bit. Jacksonville will be the home team at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, I believe, the following week, or maybe they'll play that one at Wembley. I don't know, but they're doing the back-to-back London bit. The Bears, excuse me, are, I don't trust them as much in London as I do the Jags. I also think the Jags, kind of found something last week. I'm a little scared that the Bears might be a little overconfident because they beat a terrible Carolina Panthers team, but they beat them soundly. I think I'm going for the upset here. Chicago's only favored by one. I'm going Jacksonville for the win.
Craig, I don't think there'll be a game this season that I pick the Jacksonville Jaguars. Again,
that is also not a bad call, unless they play the Panthers.
Yes. I just don't trust Trevor Lawrence. Yes, he had a career higher in passing yards last week. But again, some of the plays that he made, they were wide open. Like the screen to Tank Bigsby, the long touchdown pass to Brian Thomas. Like, yes, those are going to pad your stats. I wasn't necessarily impressed by Trevor Lawrence. I am impressed by the Bears' defense, though. They have been balling out. And also, Caleb Williams seems to be finding something. Maybe it's because of, you know, DeAndre Swift and the fact that they finally started running the ball. But I like the Bears here. I'm going with the Bears.
All right. They did. They found some ways to get the ball in Sweat's hands in space. That's the thing. It's like, ask him to read out a running play, get him in space. Yeah. He knows how to run away from people. So they do a good job with the screen game. And Caleb's actually a pretty good screen thrower, too. He's got a really quick release. He's not like he's comfortable taking on pressure because he's so used to it. There's a lot of good stuff there that I think will happen for Chicago, but I don't trust it.
It's not
I don't
too late, trust Craig. It. Come on over. Nah, stay over there.
I've already been off that Bears. I was on the Bears bandwagon early, and they hurt me.
You were.
They hurt me right here in my soul. Cardinals, imagine what it's like being an actual Bears fan. Cardinals and Packers. What? They know? Yeah. I'm not telling them anything new.
Duh, Bears.
All right, Cardinals and Packers. Packers, 5-point home favorites as Kyler Murray and company come to town off their win over the 49ers. I have Green Bay at home here. I just think they are the better football team. It really is not that complicated. Nice balmy 52 degrees at kickoff in Landover on Sunday. It's a little chilly for Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
I'm joking, but also kind of not.
I think your explanation was perfect. Packers, better team. Cardinals got a big win last week, though. Shout out to them, but I think the Packers, more consistent. I can trust them.
Yeah, no, they're a team that I genuinely trust. Like, I feel good about picking the Packers pretty much every week, and I think that's probably why I pick them pretty much every week, and more weeks than not, I'm going to be right on that, because they're a good football team. Mm-hmm. Anthony, I cannot believe this line. The Colts are 2.5-point dogs at Tennessee.
Yikes.
What had happened to them boys? Anthony Richardson set to play, but no Jonathan Taylor, Michael Pittman iffy. So you get your quarterback back. Nobody actually, I think a lot of people would actually say that is not even a good thing because Joe Flacco's been so prolific. This Tennessee defense is good. Their offense is very much not. You're Mr. AFC South. Who you got?
The Colts are so banged up. No Jonathan Taylor again this week. Michael Pittman is questionable. AR is set to play. I don't really trust it that well. The Colts' defensive line is all types of banged up. But still, Craig, I'm going with the Colts. I don't trust Will Levis. I do not trust that guy. He point-shaved early in the season, lost those guys 2 games. I'm going with the Colts.
Just for the legal department, Anthony was being sarcastic.
Yes,
he's not actually accusing Will Levis of point shaving. It is just that his play is reminiscent of someone who was point shaving because it was bad. It was really, really bad. All right, so you're on your boys.
I'm going with the Colts.
Yeah, I am too. I ultimately just do not trust Will Levis in Tennessee. If there's a get-right game.
Zaire, do you hear me? If there is a get-right game, it is this weekend. Get right. Let's go.
All right. Texans and Patriots. 1, 2, 3.
Texans.
I'm kind of like, I'm going to say the following sentence. This line is only 6.5.
No Nico. Weird.
I know. No Nico, which is a huge loss. He's been the best receiver in the NFL.
That's his go-to guy, man.
Yeah. CJ is just, that dude balls.
You're right.
Dude is so good. Credit to him. All right. Buccaneers and Saints. This is one we can spend a little more time on because I think it's a pretty interesting matchup. One, Spencer Rattler is going to start at quarterback for New Orleans. Carr is out with, I think they ultimately said it was an oblique injury, but something core back, et cetera. Core back side. So probably oblique. So Carr is out. Rattler is a guy that's used to playing behind a bad offensive line. Unfortunately for the Saints, they have a bad offensive line. The Buccaneers are going to get Kalijah Kancey back, so they get a little bit more pass rush on the interior. This is very much pushing me in the Buccaneers' direction. That's who I was leaning towards anyway. All of this news around the game pushes me farther in that direction. But it is in New Orleans. It's a really tough place to play. There's a chance Mike Evans gets ejected in the first quarter because Marshawn Lattimore is healthy, and those two play rock'em sock'em robots instead of football every time they match up. And who knows what else could happen because it's a wacky NFC South game, and that's the way that division goes.
Way to set the stage for that, Craig. I'm going with the Bucs. I think Todd Bowles against any rookie quarterback is a little scary. Jaden Daniels couldn't necessarily figure it out. I don't trust Spencer Rattler to figure it out. He hasn't had a lot of game action. First game against Todd Bowles. Ah, could be scary. Might turn the ball over, take a few sacks. I'm going with the Bucs.
Yeah, if I could pick defensive coordinators to not go against in my first career start as an NFL quarterback, like, if Belichick is back in the league, he's number one because he was forever like undefeated against rookie quarterbacks. He and the stats were abysmal. Like nobody could get 10 points on him if they were starting a rookie. He was just, he made their life that much hell. Todd Bowles of current guys, he's got to be top five. Like that just is a nightmare. And especially because he's got good players. Kancey, Vita Vea, you know, a couple of other guys down there that are they're good. I don't know if Winfield's back yet, but like they got dudes, they got scheme, they're and they have an offense that can also put a lot of pressure. Like they'll go out and score, and now all of a sudden Rattler's got to drop back a ton. Like I don't know if that's how you want to spend your first career start. I think they want to probably run the ball quite a bit, try to be play action heavy, get back to kind of who what that offense, Clint Kubiak, Kyle Shanahan tree is supposed to be. And I don't know if this is the week you're going to be able to do it. Browns and Eagles. Eagles coming off the bye. They are, oh my God, 9.5-point favorites at home over the abysmal Cleveland Browns, Anthony.
The Eagles are a part of my competition Wednesday picks. I'm expecting these guys to go out there and destroy the Browns. They get Devontae Smith back. They get A.J. Brown back. Jalen Hurts, this is your chance. Turn the tide. Let's get something cooking. Let's get in a rhythm. I think this can be one of those get-right games for the Eagles. I like them over the Browns plus the points.
Yeah, I honestly, if I was going to pick this game against the spread, I would go that direction as well. It is remarkable how bad the Browns offense is. We spent a lot of time on it last week. So for the Eagles defense, even though I don't believe that they've magically fixed their problems, like you're not just not that scared. And I do think that they can take advantage of some of the weaknesses. But I think the other thing is like, if you're telling me the way to beat the Browns offense is to, or the Browns defense is to take some one-on-one shots at the outside, that is where A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith and Jalen Hurts thrive. Like Jalen as a deep ball one-on-one passer, giving his guys chances, he's pretty good at that. And while he's not the same style of runner that like Jaden is, some of the stuff that Jaden was able to do last week, I think Jalen can also do. And so, yeah, Saquon like should have a pretty solid day. But I think specifically, like they're going to target Emerson, the Browns' number two corner, who has been really bad this year, time and time and time again. Jim Schwartz, and the thing is, Schwartz is going to leave him out there on an island because that's how he plays. Like that, as a defensive coordinator, he's a man coverage guy, and he's going to stick with it. So that is, Eagles to say the least is the pick. Okay, let's break here, Anthony. Come back and pick the 4 o'clock window next. That's all the 1 o'clock games that are not Commanders Ravens. Got some bangers in the 4 o'clock window and the primetime games. We break those down and pick them next on the Team 980. Week 6 in the NFL, our picks and analysis of each and every game roll on here on the Huffman Show on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. When we left our heroes, it was the 1 o'clock window. It is now time for the 4 o'clock window. Anthony, it's us. Hey, Anthony, we're the heroes.
Yes, we are.
Of our own story. Chargers and Broncos. Chargers favored by 3 on the road at Denver. I actually would like to check out the offensive line injury status for the Chargers before I make a pick of this game, Anthony. So if you don't care about such things, you can go ahead.
Well, I will tell you, Justin Herbert is off the injury report. That just broke actually like seconds ago. But outside of it, this one's tough, man.
It looks like Alt and Slater are back, so that's good for L.A.
Yeah, but I just feel like the Broncos' defense the last couple of weeks, they've been very opportunistic when it's come to, you know, taking the ball away, intercepting it, and it's been able to keep them in games. I'm torn right now. Justin Herbert's my guy. I like what Jim Harbaugh has over there in L.A. I think I'm going to go with the Chargers, Craig.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to go with the Chargers. I'm torn,
though. I think I am, too. I don't like the Broncos, so it's a little too easy for me to pick against them. Like, I don't like Sean Payton. I find him grating and annoying, although I respect that he's a fantastic coach. Like, both those things are true. That's not me diminishing his ability as a football coach. But, like, because I don't enjoy his occasional I don't enjoy his commentary. When Sean Payton, Broncos football coach, forgets that he's not Sean Payton Fox commentator anymore, that annoys the daylights out of me. So I always have to check myself in the interest of trying to be right, but I do think that the Chargers can win this. I think this game is going to be a lot slower paced, like just a knockout, drag-out game. That is how the Chargers make it. And so we'll see if they have enough. Obviously, Derwin James coming back off the suspension. So we'll see what the Chargers have in store. Steelers and Raiders. In theory, Anthony, this could be a 1-2-3 game, but Pittsburgh is only favored by 3 in this one as they go to Vegas.
Before that, who did you say last game?
Chargers.
Okay, just making sure.
Go Chargers. Do you get that reference?
Sounds Arnold Schwarzenegger-like.
That is correct. When he was the governor of California.
Oh, yeah.
He'd had a go Chargers thing that Chris Berman used to always use on NFL primetime. Did you watch Berman and TJ? Or is that
yes,
like where our...
Yes, okay. I watched Berman. Come on, man. The fastest 2 minutes. I wish we...
No. Not the fastest 3 minutes, fastest 2 minutes, whatever they give him on Monday Night Football.
Oh, I'm talking actual
full
show?
Full NFL primetime Sunday nights back in the day.
I think with Tom Jackson. I'm pretty sure I did. NFL primetime... I'm pretty sure that I don't have a full recollection of.
We are the same generation, but yes. We have a slight age gap, and this is where it shows up.
I think
the period that I lived on NFL primetime, you were still just a little too young to live on NFL primetime.
I mean, I probably watched it here and there, but you know, High School Musical was probably on, or you know, the Hannah Montana show, or I don't know.
That was the age that you were at. Yeah, no.
And it's Halloween now, so I definitely was watching the Halloween movies. So yeah, that's
you weren't rumbling, bumbling, stumbling.
Nah.
Yeah. You don't know any of the nicknames.
Or actually I had curfew at 9 PM when I was a kid, correct?
That doesn't surprise me. Yeah. This show was on, it was on like before the Sunday night game. That's when it was on.
So
you flip over after like the Fox, whatever, you know, and yeah, they did highlights like old school style and they were awesome. Anyway, the Steelers, now I just want to do all of the Chris Bermanisms. Maybe I'll make a list. Maybe Yates and I will have to compile a list. Anyway, the point is the Steelers and the Raiders are going to play a football game here in 2024.
Uh-huh.
The Steelers are favored by 3 on the road against Aiden O'Connell. Yes, Aiden O'Connell's playing, and the Raiders. Russell Wilson will be active for this one, likely the number 2 quarterback, according to Mike Tomlin, but another start for Justin Fields.
Yeah, I'm going with the Steelers here. I think I have them actually in my Wednesday picks as well.
One of us does. I don't remember who it is.
It might be you then.
Yeah, one of us definitely does.
Yeah, I'm going with the Steelers here. I just think they're the better overall football team. Justin Fields, I expect him to bounce back. And I'm not sure what to make of the whole George Pickens situation. It's a little weird. A little weird.
Yeah. I think sometimes some organizations, and Mike Tomlin is 100% this way, they're so good with the culture stuff. They think they can take a talented guy who's a knucklehead, for lack of a better term. I wish I was more eloquent with, and I knew more about George Pickens' situation. So if that winds up being insensitive, I apologize. But I think back to like when they had Antonio Brown and a bunch of these other guys that like either in Brown's case, like Brown became a real problem. Like I think that Vontaze Burfict hit like really messed him up in like in a way that's sad. Yeah. But he is a terrible person who has done terrible things. Or he's turned into a terrible person who did a lot of terrible things to a lot of people. Point is, like, you have these personalities that you think, like, oh, well, they might not be who we want our guys to be from a character standpoint, but we think that we can manage it. And sometimes you're really wrong about that. And what I appreciate about Peters and Quinn is, like, they kind of have a no-knucklehead policy. They're, like, they're not going to take on someone who doesn't fit the character of what they want, which doesn't necessarily mean it's all going to be all golden children. But, like, from a competitive standpoint, George Pickens, I don't think, ever gets picked by Adam Peters in a draft. And that's kind of what I mean. Because, like, the stuff with Pickens, as far as I know, has been, like, on-the-field stuff and, like, yeah, football-adjacent stuff. And it's just, like,
effort. What are we, like, what are we doing?
Yeah, that person never makes it on a Commander's roster. Yeah. That's the way they're building it, and that's a good thing. But Tomlin also is right about a lot of stuff, and they've never been under 500 under him, so what do I know? They're going to win this game. Lions, Cowboys. Detroit favored by 3.5 on the road in Dallas. This one's going to be really interesting because I do think Detroit will try to run all over Dallas. It definitely could work, but Dallas is the type of team that can keep up as well because they are incredibly potent offensively. I'm going to take Detroit in this one, but I don't feel good about it.
I'm going to take Detroit as well. No Micah Parsons for the second week in a row.
That definitely hurts.
Yeah, that hurts a lot. And that's just a huge hit to the defensive line that already hasn't been that impressive. I think the Lions are going to play some smash mouth football.
That's their favorite kind. Falcons and Panthers. 1, 2, 3.
Falcons.
Bengals and Giants, the game NBC didn't want. They wanted Ravens and Commanders, but they got Bengals and Giants on Sunday night. Whoopsie daisy. If I had told you, Anthony, this summer that on the Week 6 Sunday Night Football game, the Bengals and Giants would be playing and the Giants had the better record, what kind of drugs do you think I would have been on?
Some crazy drugs.
Good ones is the correct answer. Which by good, we mean bad, kids. Yeah. Very, very, very bad. Don't do drugs. It's wild that the Bengals are 1-4. Offensively, like they're legitimately a top 5, top, yeah, certainly top 10 offense. Their defense has just been so bad, and they faced really tough opponents. They faced Baltimore. They faced Kansas City. They faced Washington. Like, that is apparently a really tough schedule, which is something that I don't think a lot of people would have anticipated. I will take Cincinnati on the road in New York. Their offense is just absolutely rolling right now. Burrow's got 12 touchdowns and 2 picks, 1,300 yards.
Yeah, I can't pick Daniel Jones, man. I can't. I can't do it.
Bold take. I'll take Joe Burrow instead of Daniel Jones. I wasn't here last week,
but I was thinking the same thing. And they won.
Yeah, they did. Bills and Jets. Can Buffalo bounce back? 3-0 start. Looked terrible in the two games since. Josh Allen, by the way, it came out today that everything was followed correctly with the concussion protocol last week. Of course, that's what the investigation says. But coming off that 9-for-30, Jets, tumultuous week, fired their head coach. Who you got?
I'm going to go with Aaron Rodgers and the Jets. I think these guys are going to be playing for Robert Saleh.
Yeah, like it kind of feels that way, doesn't it?
I feel like you have to. I think a lot of guys in the locker room didn't want the guy to be fired. So I think the defense is definitely going to have some type of urgency that they're out there playing with. And this is in New York?
It's in New York, yeah.
Yeah, I like those guys to come out the gates firing on all cylinders.
They got the new play caller in Todd Downing, but I don't know that, like, Aaron Rodgers is the OC. I don't know how much better their offense is going to be. I am definitely nervous about the Jets defense just playing with their hair on fire.
Mm-hmm.
New coach bounce. Because I just like the Bills better. I don't, yep, like the Jets. I never like picking the Jets because they're the Jets. And when you're wrong about the Jets, you feel like an idiot because you're like, same old Jets. How am I the same old idiot who picked them? I'm just going to go with the team I think is better. I'm picking Buffalo. I just can't. I'm very scared I'm wrong on that one. But I'm going to take Buffalo.
I'm scared for you as well.
We'll see what happens.
Yep.
All right. We'll see how we did on Monday. Coming up next, Commanders, Ravens back in the spotlight. We'll pick that game coming up before the end of the show at 6:45. But we got six players we need to pick to have the biggest impact in the game. Our pick six at six is next.